Modal operator sequence. You say, what was the last thing you said to yourself just before you got out of bed this morning? That's a nice one. What was the last thing you said to yourself just before you got out of bed this morning? And somebody goes, got to get up. So if you were going to use their modal, if you were going to utilize their modal operator sequence, you'd say, you got to do this. And they say, well, it's time to get up. You say, it's time to do this. You know, it's time for you to do this project. So you, that's utilization of the modal operator sequence. So once you know their modal operator sequence, you can use that to get them to take some action as you're communicating with them. Attention direction. What you do for attention direction is you just notice. You observe them as you're communicating with them and just notice is if they're primarily self-directed or others. Like, where's their attention tend to be directed? Is it on themselves or is it on others? In any type of customer service job, you would look for the person who's compulsively sorting by others. In fact, they did, with one of the airlines they were doing hiring at one point, and they hired an NLP trainer to come in and help them to do hiring consulting. And what they did was they had a one-way mirror. They had a bunch of people in a room with a one-way mirror. And they were watching the people in the room, and what they did was they had each person get up in front of the room and tell a story about why they wanted the job and why they thought they would be good for the job. Well, the people that thought that they were that were interviewing thought that they had to tell the best story, but that wasn't what they were watching for at all. They were watching to see who was paying the most attention to the others when they were telling their stories, because they were looking for the people that compulsively sorted by others, because those were going to be the best people at customer service. So, because there were some people when they were getting prepared for their stories that were down inside themselves thinking, oh, what am I going to say? And I've got to say it the right way. And I've got to, you know? Yeah, so they're inside themselves. They're in downtime where there's the other people that are going, that are really paying attention and leaning forward and, yeah, cheering those people on. And those were the people that they ended up hiring. So they thought that they were being watched for one thing and they were actually being watched for the other. And they were just looking for the people that compulsively sorted by others. Yeah. Interesting. Here, there's a couple of extra meta programs that we've added to our list here. So let's take a look at these. These are on page 39. These are more recent meta programs. And there's some people in NLP that have even postulated more meta programs than this. Some people that we were training with in Australia, well, there's one guy that says he's come up with 59 meta programs. But I think at some point they'll lose their usefulness. The usefulness of these is that we can have some of them that we understand and that we can actively use them. It's kind of like in the martial arts. There were those people that would advance very quickly and they wanted to learn each and every technique and learn multiple techniques and all that. And it's like, stick to the basics. You know, the question is, do you have a couple of techniques that you can use and use really effectively? Or do you have so many that you get lost in it? So I think at some point the usefulness of this would lose its usefulness. I think this is a good number of meta programs. So let's take a look at these extra three because they're good ones. Well, let's take a look at them. Number 17, information processing style. When you need to work through a problem or a challenge in your life, is it absolutely necessary for you to talk about it with someone else or think about it by yourself only? And we're going to force a dichotomous answer on that. So it's because they say, well, it's not absolutely. Well, if you were to pick one, is it absolutely necessary for you to talk about it with someone else or think about it by yourself only? And we're going to find that they're either external processes or internal processors. Because some people need to talk about it with everybody before they can come to some resolution. Some people just need to go inside and internally process that. That's useful in couples counseling. Yeah, because if the wife understands that she's an external processor and the husband understands he's an internal processor, he just needs to go sit off by himself to process an issue, then they can have more understanding for each other. Like when the wife has to go and talk to her friends or whatever, the husband could have more understanding of that instead of getting, hey, why you always got to talk to people about, you know, this or that? Yep. Listening style. If someone you knew quite well said to you, I'm thirsty, would you find the comment interesting but probably do nothing about it, or would you feel really compelled to do something about it? Because you say, I'm thirsty, some people will feel compelled to go get you a glass of water. Some people will just say, well, that's interesting. You're thirsty. Okay, that's interesting.
What did you say? The water's over there.
Might be somewhere in between. But I might, yeah, I would kind of take that somewhere as being in between, because it's still kind of inferential to a certain degree, because you're looking, it's almost like you feel compelled to tell them something, so you're still doing something. I might think of it as being a little bit more inferential than literal. You say, because the person who's literal, you say, I'm thirsty, they go, cool. That's right, you are. I'm not, yeah, they wouldn't. Yeah. Now the speaking style, number 19. If you felt that someone around you was not performing as well as they should, would you come to the point and tell them directly, or would you hint, imply, and give them clues? Now that's either literal speaking style or inferential. The inferential speaker will hint, imply, and give them clues, whereas the literal speaker will just tell them exactly what they're, you know, what's not working. Now what's interesting is if you get a literal, let's take a inferential speaker, and let's say you've got a couple. Let's say you were doing couples counseling, and let's say that the husband was, or no, let's say the wife was an inferential speaker, and the husband was a literal listener. So you've got the wife is an inferential speaker and the husband's a literal listener. So what would happen is the wife might, if things weren't working for her or she wanted something in the relationship, she'd hint around about it. Oh, you know, sure be nice to go to dinner sometime or do this or do that. And she just throws things out. And the husband's listening. He's like, yeah. He's a literal listener. So she needs to come out and say, hey, why don't you take us here, or why don't we go do this, or why don't we do that, or you know what, this isn't working for me. But she, but let's say the wife is she's an inferential listener and an inferential speaker. So she just listens inferentially. She speaks inferentially, so she'll drop hints about things because that's the way she likes to be communicated with, but the husband doesn't get it unless you tell him directly because he's a literal listener. You're going to have some communication problems there. If the husband is, if the wife is a, let's say she's an inferential listener, she'll listen for things and try, and she'll think that the husband hints around at things. So she'll be listening for things inferentially when perhaps he's not even speaking inferentially. And she may go, what do you mean by that? And what's that supposed to mean? It's like, nothing. It means just what I said. Right, what's that mean? What are you saying there? So you can get some communication gaps. When you teach these to people, what happens is they have the opportunity to understand the other side, understand that it's just communication differences, and then begin to adapt their own communication. And this is, remember in the beginning we said that the only reason why relationships fail from an NLP standpoint is negative anchoring and unfulfilled love strategies. Unfulfilled love strategies could be the strategies. Remember when we elicited love strategies we talked about love strategies. We'll elicit love strategies here. In the practitioner training, we elicited, we talked about love strategies. That is one part of love strategies. Metaprograms is part of love strategies as well as values. Unfulfilled values, unfulfilled metaprograms, unfulfilled strategies on that love end. So once people understand these metaprograms, we're more capable of fulfilling their strategies. Like if somebody needs to hear things literally, we can say them to them literally. So this gives us the opportunity to understand someone else and then begin to tailor our communication in a way that really works for them.